running trying to get here. I thought the class started at 8. I'm sorry for being late. All right. We chapter 7. Chapter 7. All right. Chapter 7, connecting your help from above. Now, was everybody here, were y'all here Wednesday when the apostle had to, you know, do some clearing up about the grace message? Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the... There, grace is right, but that you can go extreme with anything, yes, right. All right? And some of the teaching was talking about the sovereignty of God. We know God is sovereign, but they said that God can do whatever He want to do, and we have nothing to do with it. And so that's like. So we don't have to pray, we don't have to confess our sins. It's like if a person, let's just say, if two people sick, and if one get well, it's because it was God's will for that person to get well, but the other one stays sick, it was God's will for that one to stay sick, and we know that that's not the will of God. So, and one of the things that we got to confess our sins. We have to, you know, now, our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. But the thing about it is I really don't need my sins to be forgiven that I haven't committed yet. I don't. So it's just like, you know, I could have money in the bank. And I can use it when I get ready to use it. But and I could have an unlimited amount of money, all right? And I could use it as I need it. So although the price for sin has been paid, past, present, and future, it's just like the debit card. You know, I really don't need the forgiveness until really until I need it. But why would I need it before? Praise the Lord. So our sins, we have to confess our sins, because if God just does what He wants, then why should we pray? If He's gonna just do whatever He wanna do, we just might as well just go ahead and just sit back. The Lord's gonna do it, and this. No, but that's not the way God does things. And so prayer is really us involving God in our situations. Because it's just like we could have rent houses. Now, I've said it before, we could have rent houses, and we can't go in those houses and do what we wanna do, because you know, we lease it out to somebody. You can't go in that house and go in the refrigerator just because that's your house. those people are leasing that place out. So the same way it is, the earth was leased out to man. The earth under the lease. And Adam gave it over to Satan. So God can't just come in and just do what He want to do. So we have to invite God in through prayer into our situation. That's the only way He can legally get in. You understand what I'm saying? We have to invite Him in. So as it relates to sin, how many know Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what he's out to do. He's really out to destroy us. And so if he can, you know, the vehicle of sin is what he really is trying to use to destroy us. Hallelujah. Now, in that seventh chapter, talking about connecting with your help from heaven, how many of you know we got to have help? We've got to have help. Praise the Lord. We've got to have help. So in Romans 8 and 13, it says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now, you know, that's one of the things that I was wondering about. Because let's just say a person gets saved. Okay, if the person gets saved and they don't really renew their mind with the Word of God, and then they continue to allow their flesh to dominate them, then guess what? They're not going to have no, that, what kind of victory they're going to have? Because Satan is going to manipulate them like a puppet on a string. You understand what I'm saying? So, see, the grace of God is really God's empowering us to be able to do what God has ordained for us to do. So let me see, just like this. We have to have God's assistance. In Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your pathway." Now, God really intended for us to rely on him for everything. God never intended for us to try to do it on our own. God wanted to always be, and we can't say, we used to say, the Lord is our co-pilot, but no, if the Lord co-pilot, we're still in trouble.
Right. That's right.
The Lord is our pilot.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And he the plane too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to come to a place where we really rely on God. We really rely on God. And so the spirit realm is really about relying on God. Because guess what? We really can't operate in the spirit realm without God's assistance. You with me? I'm talking about a born again child of God. We are really supposed to be in contact with heaven.
Yes, sir.
That's the only way we can really function and really be operate at our optimum level. Is that we have the influence from heaven. And so whenever we try to do anything on our own, that's when we mess it up. When we try to operate out of the flesh, out of our own. And I think, even trying to operate the Old Testament saints, they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the Holy Spirit's indwelling. In the Old Testament, they were led by the priest, the king, and the prophet. We led by the Spirit.
Yes, yes, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? We led by the Spirit today. So we have assistance. So they were really trying to please God through their flesh. But with us, now we're led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, if we allow him to. See, it's still a choice. It's still a choice. Do we choose to allow God to lead us, or do we still try to do it on our own? You know what I'm saying? So when we try to do it on our own, we'll find ourselves struggling. We'll find ourselves, really scratching and scraping and really trying to get somewhere and find ourselves getting nowhere. So we got to have this connection from heaven. So it says again there, I'm reading it again, the scripture of Romans 8 and 13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live." So the sin nature is king because it issues orders. But when it dies, it has no power. See, for a long time, we thought that once a person was born again, that sin nature was dead. But that sin nature is still alive, but it's just lying dormant. And so that's why it's so important that we renew our mind, because, man is three parts. And so if we don't really get, see, our soulish man that's in the middle He can go either way. He can lean to the flesh or he can lean to the spirit. It all depends on how much we feed him the word. The more we feed him the word, the more he leans to the spirit side. And so we're led by that. But we can, the Bible say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So that preceding word, that's what man live by, that word that's continually to come forth. So we got to always have the word of God coming forth in order for us to really live the way God wants us to live. We're not going to be able to do it any other way. So when sin is not treated, it kills. And see, God knows that sin destroys. Satan will try to deceive us and send us down a road, you know, where we're not conscious. Watch this. I don't have to be sin conscious to be aware that sin is always trying to lay his cold hands on me. You understand what I'm saying? I understand that I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. But the thing about it is I still have to walk in a certain way. I still have to have heaven's influence in my life. In order to really become all that God wants me to become. There's no way in the world I can do this without God's assistance. Can't do it without his assistance. I got to have it, because you know what? If you don't have God's assistance, Satan don't give you his assistance.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we're gonna either, there ain't no in between. You either go right or left.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So we got to have God's influence. We got to have heaven's influence in our life. So when sin is not treated, it kills. When you don't stop it, it stops you. Now, every bondage is an operation of some spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Praise God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And do you know that whenever you operating in fear, one thing that you're going to, you know, you're not going to have a sound mind, because the Bible says fear brings torment. It torments you, have you all frustrated, have you all confused, and that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? And then the Bible says, the reason why he said love too, because the Bible says love casts out fear. Love is more powerful than fear. But I'm going to tell you something, but if you're not careful, fear, the enemy will use fear to really get you out of the will of God. Bring all kind of fear, all kind of crazy stuff. I don't know about y'all, but you know, especially when you're raising kids, and when they're young, they're coming up, you know, and you don't let them went to the game or something like that, and the telephone rang, so you be jumping because you don't know what this call is about. You understand what I'm saying? Because you know when the phone ringing like that and stuff, you know they're not here. What this call about? You understand what I'm saying? So that was a time when I say, wait a minute, hold on, devil, you're not gonna be intimidating me like this. My children covered by the blood. I'm not gonna be jumping every time the phone rings. You understand what I'm saying? So there was times when I mean, man, all kind of thoughts just going through my head and stuff. Couldn't even control them. You understand what I'm saying? And when God has already left a promise. Now, a lot of times people think that you know, faith. When we have faith, it causes us to receive when we got faith. But I'm going to tell you something. Fear will cause you to receive too. Because fear really is faith in reverse. It's faith in the negative, really. Fear is. And you remember Job said, the thing that great, all that stuff happened to Job, it happened because Job was fearing. Job was fearing that something was going to happen to his children, something going to happen to everything he had. And guess what? Fear was just like a magnet, brought it right to his door. So, but the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear.
No, no, no.
So anytime fear is trying to bombard our life, we know that this is not God. But we know that it is a spirit. And but we know that it's Satan that's behind it. So whenever fear comes, he comes because he's trying to torment us. So we got to always, amen, whenever he knocks on the door, we got to always have faith present. We got to always let him know, you know, that we're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Covered by the blood. So now, bondage is an operation of the spirit of bondage. Satan himself. Satan is a spirit, so he operates by spirits. The spirit of fear, the spirit of bondage and unclean spirits. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 1 and 2 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, that's two laws that he's talking about right here. He's talking about the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, and then he talks about the law of sin and death. Now, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's what we as born-again believers, we are supposed to operate by. The spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And but Satan is trying to keep us connected to the law of sin and death. You with me? So now, watch this. It's just like, just like an airplane, you know, gravity, what goes up, come down, you know, the law of gravity. But an airplane, the law of lift is more stronger than the law of gravity. So when that airplane breaks breaks through and it began to fly, it's because there's a greater law that it's operating on than the law of gravity that could bring it down. So watch this. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it supersedes the law of sin and death. So that's the law that we operate by as the people of God. We're operating by the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So even when the enemy trying to bring, you know, some kind of sickness and disease upon your body. You understand? You have to remind them. Hold on. You got the wrong one. You got the wrong one. I'm not operating by the law of sin and death. I'm operating by the law, the law of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I am operating in a law that supersedes the law of sin and death.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Glory to God. So the law of sin and death really can't hold me down.
That's right.
It really, are y'all with me here? So now when we understand that, then anything that the enemy trying to do, we can really go out. We can really get out of his grasp because, amen, we are really exercising a higher law than he has to try to bring us down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going up, devil, but I ain't coming down. You may try to bring me down, but I can't come down because I'm operating on a law that supersedes the law of sin and death. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, so it's the law of one spirit that subdues the law of another spirit. Hallelujah. See, now we see with the law of the spirit of life Christ Jesus, we have heaven's assistance. You know, we got to connect with our help that's in heaven, from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Because we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We operate from another plane. Hallelujah. See, people of God, we got to understand that we're not ordinary people. Oh, shucks. I said, we're not ordinary folk. And you got to understand that you're not ordinary. You're not regular. No, we extraordinary.
Yes,
amen. We walk by high power.
Yes,
we're connected to a God that, amen, that can cause us to overcome anything.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
it's almost like, you understand, it's almost like we superheroes.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, we may look like normal people, but like Clark Kent when he goes into that phone booth, he come out and he's Superman. You understand what I'm saying? That's what happens when we connect with heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Hallelujah. Yeah. The anointing, you understand what I'm saying? But the anointing that's on our life, it takes us a whole nother realm. It gets us out of the reach of Satan where he's trying to keep us bound. Hallelujah. Now, let me settle down here. Okay. All right. The superior spirit will swallow the operation of the inferior spirit, like the rod of Moses that swallowed up the rods of the magicians. Pharaoh's magicians, hallelujah. The superior law will bring the lesser law under subjection. So what the law demands is made possible by the operation of the law of the spirit. My goodness. The law on its own is helpless to bring you to a place of sanctity. But when you operate the law of the spirit, you're able to walk automatically fulfilling the righteousness of the law. Praise God. And then, you know, we got the power of the Holy Spirit. There in John 16 and 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Praise the Lord. Now, he's the helper. He's the, in the Greek, he's called the Parakletos. He's the one that's called alongside to help us. The Holy Spirit, we got to have his help.
Yes, sir.
I say, man, look, we are in terrible shape if we don't have the Holy Spirit's help. Yes. Now, I'm going to show you something. When I was in a traditional church, I'll never forget one night, we was in Bible study, and they had this guy that came to our Bible study. And so the pastor was teaching about the Holy Spirit, but he wasn't teaching about being filled with the Spirit. So this guy said that, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And so, well, we knew that wasn't true. You understand what I'm saying? We knew that just because we didn't speak in tongues, that didn't mean that we wasn't saved. But what it did was it made us fight against tongues, because the man said that you're not saved. Well, we knew we were saved. But I went and I started seeking the Lord about that thing. Well, my wife got filled. Remember, I told y'all, you know, we went to the church and stuff, and these people was speaking in tongues, and so I was just praying, and she won't bump me, telling me, "Are you one of those? Are you one of these people?" And then when she got filled with the spirit, she went to speaking in tongues. I said, "You one of them?" You know, but the thing about it is, the Lord, once I got filled, I knew that I wasn't filled. So I went to my pastor and told my pastor, I said, "Pastor, we thought we was filled." I said, "But once you get filled, when you're not filled, you don't know that you don't know that you wasn't filled until you get filled. Then when you get filled, you know, we wasn't filled." We may have had a well, but we didn't have no river. So I told him, I said, Pastor, "Man, there's more to this. I said, "Man, it's a whole new plane. Praise the Lord." And my pastor started seeking the Lord, and the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. And we was in a traditional Baptist church, boy. And man, look, we had bold meetings, man, where people really brought bowls. They brought bowls and guns. And we had meetings, man. You had to really be aware in these meetings, because these folk came up here ready, boy, to cut, to shoot, to do all something. I know, I'm telling y'all, see, it may sound like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. Man, look, them people want to hold on to them traditions.
Yeah.
And you talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, y'all up there, one person stood up in church, man, the Holy Ghost had just fell, man, and we were just praising God, celebrating, and man, one of the more traditions come up there. This is not a fundamentalist church. What are y'all doing in here? I say, my goodness, Lord, have mercy. We done had all this here, and they done set up in here and sit in here dry as a bone, and all this rain falling, and ain't none of y'all wet up in here with this tradition. What wrong with y'all? And so, hallelujah. So when the Lord delivered me, I'm sure the Lord did to me. The Lord did to me. I thought it wasn't fair. The Lord delivered me out of that, and I wound up in a full gospel church. You know, man, just freedom and stuff, man, you understand? And then the Lord called me back to a Baptist church. I said, Lord, I don't experience too much. I got to go back and fight again. So the church that I pastor now was a Baptist church when I started pastoring. But guess what? I ain't had to fight. Woo, praise God. Let me tell you why they had to fight. Because the former pastor, he had told me when I first came there. He said, don't you preach on the Holy Ghost up in here? And no tongues and stuff. He said, don't. So one thing that you got to understand, whenever you under somebody, you're going to have to submit to that person. I don't care if you think you know more than them. I don't care what you think. You cannot violate the order of God. See, some people think, I could have been there thinking, I know about the Holy Ghost. He don't know about it and stuff like that. You know, you got to be careful because God is not going to endorse no foolishness. God ain't going to do it. So this is what the Lord told me. So I left that meeting that day. I said, Lord, I thought you had brought me back here, to use me. The Lord said, yes. The Lord said, but you wait. The Lord told me to wait until, he gave me the word. Now watch, I'm going to show you what he meant by that. One day the pastor called me up. He called me up one morning. He said, look, put your suit on. We're going to the hospital to see the sick. I said, okay. And so I did. And so he came by the house and picked me up. And so he said, do you know, about 5 o'clock this morning, I turned the TV on. And a man was on there and he was saying that got passed out there, that God want to fill with the Holy Ghost and baptize you in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He said, I called the number. He said, they prayed with me. He said, man, and I heard this language coming from me. He said, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I told him, because we had a revival coming up. And he had asked me to preach in the revival. And the Lord had been talking to me about preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, I can't preach that in this man's church. I said, Lord, you know I can't do that. You know I can't violate. But the Lord had done dealt with the man. So we went to the hospital and he told me about it, I said, you know what? I said, the Lord had been dealing with me about Friday night about preaching about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He say, preach. And that night, 25 people got filled with the Holy Ghost. 25 people got filled with the Holy Spirit. And but watch this here now. The pastor who had been pastoring that church for, I guess, 40-something years, he got filled. See, now, if I'd have went in there trying to, I'm going in there trying to push my way and trying to talk about, if the pastor don't give the okay, it don't make no difference how much you think you know. You do not, you never go and overstep the boundaries of the man of God. Because God not going to bag you up. God is not going to bag you up. I don't care. See, this is the thing about it. This is why so many times people really need to be fathered. Because many people are renegades. And they think that just because I know a few scriptures or I know this here, then I'll be able to tell the pastor what to do. That's not true. That's so far out of order that it ain't funny. And so you got many people who's gifted, but they shipwrecked. And they shipwrecked because watch this. You got to be connected to heaven, because if you're not connected to heaven, if you're connected to heaven, whenever you correct it, the Spirit of God is going to let you know, hey, you need to just chill. Yes, this me. Watch, I'm gonna show you. Before I started pastoring, I was a sister, and so they wanted to do an appreciation for me. So they went to the pastor and asked him. And the pastor said, no, y'all not going to. He said, no, y'all not finna do that. And so they came to me. I don't know. Y'all, you do around here. Then I said, hold it. I said, hold it. Now you're trying to, you're trying to contaminate me. I ain't asked y'all to go do nothing. So the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, he wasn't the one that said no. I said no. That's what the Lord told me. The Lord said, I said no. The Lord said, because there ain't but one pastor in his house.
That's right.
I said, oh, my goodness. But see, if you're not connected with heaven, then you'll hear the voices of these other folk. But you got to always be in a place where the Holy Spirit can always get you back on the right track.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the safest place to be in the will of God is being a submitted person.
Yes. Yes.
Being submitted to your leadership, submitted to your man or your woman of God. You with me?
Yes.
That is the safest place to be submitted. And see, you can never, see, don't ever get to the point to where I'd rather just get somewhere and just sit. Until, see, ooh, God help me, I don't know how in the world I got over here. but you got so many people who starting to work, they say they starting to work for God, but they rebels.
Yes,
They done broke out of camps.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
And then the thing about it is, they think that they're going to turn the world upside down and it ain't going to happen. You got to be under somebody who can eject the slack out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm over here.
Yeah.
But it seemed good to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to have somebody who we respect enough to eject the slack out of us.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. Can I tell you a secret?
Yes, sir.
At any time, the apostle can jet the slack out of me at any time. I don't care. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
and the thing about it is, I'll tell you one time, something happened. We were getting ready to have camp meeting was coming up. That's what it was. Camp meeting was coming up. So, was it camp meeting? Yeah, it was camp meeting. And so I got tent revivals going on. And I got 10 revivals going on. And so I had asked the apostle about it, but the date, he wasn't thinking about the date. It was around camp meeting time. So we running so much, my church running so much doing 10 revivals. So whenever they was getting ready to get things ready here for camp meeting, the people at my church used to come here and help. Mm-hmm. Well, didn't want one of my people sign up. So I came here for camp meeting, and the pastor say, Pastor Walker was with me. He said, I'm going to rebuke you right in front of Pastor Walker. And I was saying to myself, and I'm going to receive it right in front of Pastor Walker.
Amen.
And he said, you should have never had no meeting that close up to camp meeting. You should have never been having no tent revival that close up to camp meeting. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I took it and I went back and told my church. I said, y'all, I got it. I say, but it'll never happen again.
Amen.
So I didn't leave with no attitude saying, man, you know, I got work to do too. You know, see, this kind of stuff we be doing. See, my assignment is to follow my apostle. You understand what I'm saying? So if I got to shut some things down at home to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I know a whole lot of y'all may not be there yet. His assignment is my assignment. You understand what I'm saying? And the only way you can really know that, you got to be connected to heaven. Let me stop stumbling on this floor. I remember last time I started floor. They say, what they doing up there? My son said, that's probably my daddy getting excited. But it is so important. The enemy can get you so off track and stuff and make you think that you are a wonder. You know, you are a sign of wonder. And you know, you don't need to be connected to nobody, cause the Lord got this special something on you. How in the world the Lord use a man to bring Jesus into the world, and you don't need a man for to bring you?
That's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me see if I'm trying to get back to the thing here. Praise the Lord. But I don't know. Somebody may need to hear this. Somebody need to hear this, man. Because I'm telling you, man. You got to put yourself in a position and get yourself with somebody, you know, that you don't mind getting a slack jacked out of you. And even if you got an idea, you know it's the Lord, and then you correct it about it. Then you got to realize sometimes the Lord says something to you, but it ain't time for you to do it yet. So that's why you need somebody in your life that can tell you it ain't your season right now to do that. And you got enough respect for him that you're not saying, well, the Lord told me, I ain't listening to no man. That's how you get in trouble.
Yes, right.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, true liberty from sin is impossible with the operation of the Spirit of God. See, in talking about true liberty from sin. Now, and just what I finished just to finish talking about, rebellion is one of the worst sins you can get yourself in.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? All right. So it says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So how many of you know you're not gonna be able to do what you call to do in your own physical strength? You gonna have to have the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord gonna have to be the one guiding you. Gonna have to be the one leading you. So that's why you gotta stay connected. You gotta stay connected to God. All right. So it takes the Holy Spirit to subdue unholy spirits. Uncleanliness is a spirit. It brings filth and dirt. It is law for law and spirit for spirit. So it would take the Holy Spirit to swallow up the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit has its source in Satan, a fallen angel, while the Holy Spirit has its source in God. We now have our source in exalted Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we must be operating in the Holy Spirit to destroy the unclean spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's one of the things that you know, I've seen men who was real great orators, but they ain't had no power operating with them. All they was doing was giving a good talk. You understand what I'm saying? I remember the first time somebody had invited me to come to the school back in 92. And so I came to the school of ministry started the year before. The charter class was the year before. And I came in 92, and the first time I saw the posse came out, and he started teaching, and man, the hair on the back of my neck started standing up. I said, man, who is this man? And so I saw somebody who was really operating in a genuine, authentic anointing. I had been seeing men with a lot of emotions. But I saw somebody standing flat foot, teaching the word, and the anointing just was endorsing it. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's one of the things that really attracted me. And so if you're going to be effective and you're going to walk in holiness, you're going to have to make sure that you're connected, because you're going to have to wear an anointing.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yes. So you're going to have to wear an anointing. And when you wear an anointing, the enemy know you're wearing it. He know that, you know, you're not just anybody. What time am I supposed to stop, y'all? Y'all know? Yeah, I started early. So, is it 8:30? Is it 8:20? Is it 8 what? I started about 20 till. Okay, all right. Y'all add it up and tell me what time I'm supposed to stop. Praise the Lord. By 20 after. Okay, all right. 20 after. All right. So it's 16 now. All right, so I got a little change. I got a little change here. So we now have our source in exalted Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I said that, yeah. When the devil possesses a man, they say he is now mad and he goes about filthy. He no longer knows what it is to bathe or groom himself. He is possessed by an unclean spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon such a man by the operation of the messenger of God, he discovers he had been unclean. God is also the spirit of holiness. So if you're thirsty for holiness, then go for the spirit of holiness. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. And you got to have that thirst, too. You got to have that thirst. The Bible says that God will fill us to the level of our thirst and hunger. So if we're not hungry and thirsting, guess what? We're not going to get filled. Praise God. And then this another thing, you know, a lot of times we feel with the Holy Spirit and we got filled and that kind of thing. But how many of you know you got filled with chicken too? but when you ate that chicken, that didn't mean that you didn't need no more chicken. So there is one infilling, but there's many refillings. Yeah. So we need to always be asking God to fill us, refill us afresh. I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh touch. Because yesterday's anointing, yesterday's touch, amen, is not what I need for the day. I need something fresh for the day. Because I got some new challenges today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. We're going to pick up, when it's talking about genuine thirst, Isaiah 55, we'll pick up that next week. Praise the Lord. All right. Son, you was coming to tell me? All right. Okay. All right.